Microprotein capacity is being built next to sugar mills, not at contract manufacturers. Enifa, Enough and Planetary have each built beside a sugar refinery, a starch plant or an ethanol mill, and none of them used a contract manufacturer. Enifa's €33 million for 3,000 tonnes a year is the only disclosed capital cost in the set. €11,000 per annual tonne, a useful number to hold against the sub-$1 per kilogram claims. From Life Mate Tech. The standard account of the fermentation bottleneck says the answer is contract manufacturing. Someone builds tanks, everyone else rents them. Our capacity map was largely an exercise in tracking who is building those tanks and how far behind schedule they are. For microprotein, that is not what is happening. Every commercial-scale plant in the set below that is running or fully funded, Enifa's, Enough and Planetary's, has been built beside an existing sugar refinery, starch plant or ethanol refinery, by the company that will use it. Not one of them is a contract manufacturing arrangement. The one plant in the table that is not co-located, the protein breweries, is demo scale and argues its cost advantage on different grounds. And the people doing it say so explicitly. Planetary co-founder and CEO David Brands, whose company runs a plant next to a Schweizer-Zucker sugar mill in Aarberg, told AgFunder News, "In the food space, unit economics are everything, and for bulk fermented commodities, contract manufacturing is not viable. That is a direct contradiction of the received wisdom from someone with a plant in the ground. It is worth taking seriously." The map. The article includes a 6-column table of company data here, which is easier to read on the page. Methodology note: every figure above is taken from a source we fetched and read, listed at the end. Where a company has not published a number, we have written "not disclosed" rather than estimating. The Enough capacity figures come from February 2024 reporting, and we found no fetched 2026 source updating them. See what we could not establish. Why the tank goes next to the mill. Four separate advantages stack, and only the first is the obvious one. Feedstock at the gate. Enough plant takes fermentable sugars directly from the Cargill starch facility it sits beside. Enifa's Canfic Phase 1 runs on sugar industry streams from the refinery it is located at. Nobody is trucking dextrose. A waste sink. This is the underrated one. Enough centrifuges its biomass, and the sugary wastewater goes to Cargill's bioethanol plant next door. In a standalone plant, that stream is an effluent cost. Co-located, it is a transfer. Shared utilities. Enifa's Canfic factory is a brownfield project inside an existing industrial building that already had steam, electricity, process and cooling water, and wastewater treatment. Those are line items that do not appear in the capital budget because they were built decades ago. Energy integration. Planetary's stated case for India names it directly, alongside abundant sugar side streams and low labor cost. Energy can be integrated with the sugar mill. Practical consequence. If you are evaluating a biomass fermentation business, where is the site is a unit economics question, not a logistics question. A greenfield plant on a clean site is carrying four cost lines its co-located competitor is not. The one capital number anybody has published. Enifa is the only company in this set that has put a capital cost and a nameplate capacity in public in the same sentence. A projected €33 million for a plant making up to 3,000 tonnes a year. That is €11,000 per tonne of annual capacity. It is worth converting into the unit the industry argues about. Straight line, ignoring financing cost, at full nameplate utilisation. Assumed asset life, 10 years annual capital charge, €3.30 million capital cost per kg of output, €1.10 per kilogram. Assumed asset life, 15 years annual capital charge, €2.20 million capital cost per kg of output, €0.73 per kilogram. Assumed asset life, 20 years annual capital charge, €1.65 million capital cost per kg of output, €0.55 per kilogram. Assumed asset life, 15 years at 70% utilization, annual capital charge, €2.20 million capital cost per kg of output, €1.05 per kilogram. This is our arithmetic on Enifa's disclosed figures, not Enifa's cost model. Enifa has not published a cost per kilogram, and we are not attributing one to it. Straight-line depreciation with no cost of capital is deliberately generous. A real weighted cost of capital pushes every figure up. Utilization in the first years of a ramping plant is well below nameplate. What the table is for is calibration. Before feedstock, energy, labor, downstream processing, packaging or overhead, a plant built at Enifa's disclosed capital intensity is carrying somewhere between roughly €0.55 and €1.10 per kilogram in capital charge alone. And Enifa's number is the cheap end of the range, because it is a brownfield conversion inside a building that already had its utilities. What that means for the sub $1 per kilogram claim. Planetary and Dampur Bio Organics have said they expect to make mycoprotein in India at industrial scale at below $1/kilo. That figure has been repeated widely, and it is the most aggressive cost claim in the category. Run it against the capital arithmetic, and the claim is not absurd, but it is demanding. At Enifa's €11,000 per annual ton, capital charge alone consumes the entire dollar at a 10-year life. For sub $1 per kilogram all-in, the Indian plant has to be materially cheaper to build per ton than a finished brownfield conversion, or run at a longer asset life, or both, before a single input is paid for. Three things could plausibly deliver that, and Planetary has named two of them: lower construction and labor cost, and energy integration with the mill. The third is that licensing the BioBlocks platform to an incumbent means the incumbent already owns the land, the utilities and the effluent infrastructure. So the marginal capital is fermentation and downstream only. Practical consequence: when a sub $1 per kilogram claim appears, the question to ask is not about yield. It is what is inside the boundary. If the capital, the utilities and the effluent treatment belong to the sugar mill, and only the marginal fermentation cost is being counted, the number can be true and still not be the number you would pay to replicate it. Do not import precision fermentation feedstock maths. One correction, because it is an easy error, and we have published the underlying numbers ourselves. Our analysis of sugar as a feedstock worked through GFI's case study assumptions for precision fermentation. A yield of 0.13 grams of product per gram of glucose, meaning 7.7 kilograms of sugar per kilogram of protein, and roughly $4.62 of feedstock per kilogram at $0.60 per kilogram glucose. Those figures do not transfer to mycoprotein. In precision fermentation, the product is a single protein secreted by the organism and then purified out. Most of the substrate goes into cell mass that is discarded. In biomass fermentation, the cell mass is the product. The yield on substrate is far higher because nothing is being thrown away, which is the central reason biomass fermentation is economically viable at industrial scale today, while precision fermentation, in Brands's words, is a field requiring further improvements in productivity. Applying a precision fermentation feedstock ratio to a mycoprotein cost model will produce a number several times too high. We have seen it done. The contract manufacturing argument, properly stated. Brands's position deserves the full version rather than the quotable line. His case has three parts. Control: category leaders controlling the full value chain are emerging as the winners. We have seen companies failing due to multi-party dependencies and too little self-control. Ownership: the production infrastructure needs to be owned or co-owned or at least exclusively accessible. Retrofit skepticism: retrofitting existing equipment for upstream processing rarely works, does not save substantial capex and usually drives up COGS. Point three is the sharpest, and it cuts against a comfortable assumption in this industry that idle brewing, pharma or industrial fermentation capacity can be repurposed cheaply. Brands says it cannot. Enifa's Canfic project is a partial counterexample. It is a brownfield conversion inside an existing industrial building, and it is the cheapest disclosed build in the set. But Enifa installed a new purpose-built fermenter, over 12 meters tall and more than 4.5 meters in diameter, rather than repurposing someone else's vessel. Brownfield site, greenfield equipment, that distinction is doing a lot of work. The counter-argument: the strongest case against the co-location thesis is that it is an artifact of what this category currently makes. Mycoprotein is a bulk commodity sold by the ton at prices that must eventually compete with chicken. At those unit values, transport and effluent costs are a meaningful fraction of the price, and co-location is close to mandatory. Precision fermented proteins are worth an order of magnitude more per kilogram. Our review of the public cost models found published estimates spanning under $20 per kilogram to $15,000 per kilogram, and at those values, the logistics arguments weaken considerably. Contract manufacturing may be perfectly viable for high-value proteins and non-viable for bulk biomass in which case Brands is right about his own category and wrong as a general rule. He does in fact scope his claim that way, for bulk fermented commodities. There is also a survivorship problem with the table above. It lists plants that got built. Companies that tried to scale via contract manufacturing and failed are not in it, but neither are companies that tried co-location and failed, and we have not attempted to construct the denominator, and demand is not settled. Quorn, the incumbent and the only producer with decades of commercial biomass fermentation behind it, has been reporting lackluster sales. Brands's answer is that alt meat sales are growing in Germany, France and Italy, and that hybrid products are the larger opportunity. That is a demand thesis, and every plant in the table is underwritten by it. A process contradiction worth flagging. In June 2024, the Better Meat Co. told AgFunder News that moving to continuous fermentation had cut its at-scale cost by more than 30%, and that it could produce 68% more mycelium in the same time than a year earlier. Co-founder Paul Shapiro added, "To our knowledge, nobody aside from Quorn is doing continuous biomass fermentation in the mycoprotein space." In February 2024, 4 months earlier, Enough CEO Jim Laird described his own process to the same publication. A 200,000-litre tank, inoculated, doubling every 4 to 6 hours, and then we start to harvest on a continuous basis. Both statements cannot be straightforwardly true. The likely reconciliation is that the two companies mean different things by continuous. Harvesting continuously after a batch growth phase is not the same as continuous feed and continuous draw at steady state, and the industry uses the word for both. Neither company has published enough process detail to settle it, and we are not going to adjudicate it on the basis of two interviews. Practical consequence, in diligence, continuous fermentation is not a specification. Ask for the feed regime, the dilution rate, and the run length between turnarounds. Those are answerable questions, and the word on its own is not. What we could not establish. Capital cost for 5 of the 6 plants. Only Enifa has published one. Every per kilogram capital figure in this piece rests on that single data point and is presented as arithmetic on it, not as an industry norm. Enough current capacity. Our fetched source is from February 2024 and gives 10,000 tons per year going to 20,000 tons per year. Secondary summaries encountered during research site 60,000 tons a year by 2027 and a cumulative 1 million ton ambition by 2033. We could not verify the 60,000 figure from a source we fetched and have not used it. Planetary's capacity and capital cost. Neither is disclosed. We know the Aarberg plant became operational 9 months after first equipment delivery, and that the industrial installations were financed with non-dilutive debt, but not what they cost or how much they make. Whether the Planetary to DBO deal exists. It was described in January 2026 as exploratory and subject to final agreements and regulatory approvals. We found no fetched source confirming a signed agreement. What is inside the sub-$1 per kilogram boundary? Whether it is a full loaded cost or a marginal production cost at a licensee's existing site is the single most important unknown in this article, and no public source resolves it. Enifa's schedule slip. The 2024 announcement set factory completion for end 2025. The May 2026 reporting says operational in H2 2026. We have not established the cause.
What to watch?
Whether Enifa's Kanthvik plant reaches nameplate. 3,000 tons per year means 500 kg/h sustained. The first commercial run was 4 tons. The gap between a 4-ton run and a continuous 500 kg/h line is where most of the risk in this table sits. The Enifa to FS demonstration plant in Brazil. 500 tons per year on corn ethanol thin stillage, due by end 2026. If it works, it extends the co-location thesis from sugar to ethanol and from Europe to a low-cost geography. And it is a demonstration plant explicitly designed to answer the process integration and economics questions. A signed Planetary to DBO agreement, and any cost disclosure with it. A sub-$1 per kilogram claim with a published boundary would be the most valuable single number this category could produce. Whether anyone builds a mycoprotein plant that is not co-located. The Protein Brewery's Breda facility is the closest thing to a control in this set, and it argues cost advantage from non-sterile fermentation, rather than from siting. If it hits 2,000 tons by 2029 on that basis, the co-location thesis is a preference rather than a requirement.